Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, lay on the sick thy healing hand and make the fallen strong to stand. Show us the glory of thy face till beauty springs in every place. Amen. It is perhaps surprising that when you read the scriptures, just how many of the prophets are not exactly missional in the way that we usually think of the word, right? Their style of evangelism is not the same as, well, it's not the same as basically any of the usual suggestions put forward these days in order to attract as many people as possible. The kinds of advice that we hear about today usually revolves around making friends, brightening up your message, emphasizing things so that the positive bits stick out. What you need, according to the experts today, is something that is uplifting and reasonable, something that is palatable and usable for the largest group of people that you can possibly reach. And you see from our gospel reading this evening that that is not John's style. It is said that John comes in the spirit of Elijah, but you could just as easily see that he has the temperament of Jonah. And his words are about as smooth as Hosea's, or Amos's, or Micah's. Actually, like a lot of those prophet guys, a lot of whose words we have stuck way in the middle of our Bibles so that we rarely get there. And much like Jonah, John seems to have a distaste for a large city that is full of people that he does not like. And the first thing that we hear John say this evening sounds like he almost says it in dismay. You vipers, who warned you guys? But then, given his vocation and like Jonah, John goes on to goes ahead and calls out to these people as well. John preaches to the ones who show up, even if they don't happen to be people that he personally likes. And when John preaches, he does not smooth things over. John sounds like a prophet of old. This means that the negative is laid out right alongside the positive. And first of all, we see that John talks about sin. He talks about it a lot. He does not sugarcoat it. He calls the crowd the offspring of vipers. And this, by this, he probably means that they are descendants from that serpent in the Garden of Eden. And on account of their sin, as well as all sin, he says that the wrath of God is coming. He doesn't leave it there. John, secondly, talks about forgiveness of sins, right? And right here, we have the heart of John's message, sin and forgiveness of sin, right? John is not merely a critic. He doesn't point out people's flaws and leave them without any kind of help or plan. It says that John goes out proclaiming a baptism for repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's his name, right? The Baptist, or the baptizer. That is what he becomes known for. And as cutting as his remarks may be in regard to sinners and their sins, he leads them all. He calls them all to the water that washes those sins away. Thirdly, John talks about living a life of repentance and forgiveness. John's message is not simply a feel-good message about how you should now all feel great. You will always feel great because you have been forgiven. John actually doesn't mention feelings much at all. It does not seem like our comfort is at the top of his priorities. And as you read through John's message today, you seem to see a common thread through all of his suggestions to to people when they come up and ask him, well, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live out our lives? A common thread seems to be that they live out their lives as if they are not the center of things. Now, living the Christian life is one where you are not the center. As unappealing as that may sound, where we live in a world full of advertisements that want to cater to our every whim, John simply lets it fly. Your wardrobe is not primarily about stockpiling all of the latest fashions so that you can look sharp for any occasion that might occur. Nor is your job primarily about getting as much money as you can in every situation possible. Nor is pushing others around to get your way simply because you are able to the way that you should go about things either. And lastly, he just leaves it at, be content with what God has given you. And so you can see why perhaps John doesn't like money managers, politicians, bureaucrats, priests, and talking heads from the city. And is it any wonder that many of them respond in kind? It turns out that John may be correct, that many of them weren't exactly the kind of people who would like his message. Fourth, John talks about judgment. He says the judgment is coming, right? I'm sure that you have noticed, but this has also been a theme throughout the end of the church year and the Advent season as well. But John, as well as us today, would say there is not time to dally. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. God's wrath is coming, and so God is working in the world to put an end to sin and to bring about the salvation of his people, to bring his people to himself. And this is John's message to everyone who comes to him, whether they are from the big city or whether they are not. John's message does not change. All, everyone, is to repent. Everyone is called to forgiveness. And John is not sent to a people who firstly have their act together and then dispenses forgiveness. Though John himself seems shocked at the kind of people who come out to hear his message. Right? And if you remember back to the Old Testament prophet Jonah, he also had problems with this. The other prophets are not different in this regard either. They were all called to preach repentance and forgiveness to sinners, simply out of God's grace and mercy. And then to call them to a life where they actually believe they have repented and they have been forgiven. This hasn't changed one whit from John's day or even from Malachi's day before him. And so what are we supposed to do with the time we have to fill until Jesus returns? Repent of our wrongdoing, receive forgiveness, and live our lives from this reality. This is just another way of saying, in short, we are to love God and love our neighbors. And in this day and age, this is tough medicine, right? Because it does not flatter us. It doesn't cater to what the world insists that we need right now. But even if it may be tough medicine, it is medicine. And so medicine often offends our tastes. But this is what good medicine does, right? We do not like how it tastes, or we don't like the needle as it pricks us. We do not like that it has side effects. But those of sound mind fear the alternative more. And the gospel works the same way. It offends, and yet we are drawn to what it promises for our futures. And this is the word that goes out to all. Like John, we may see that it seems salvation is often for the people that we least want to stand beside. But perhaps they have need of it. And maybe, maybe they are a lot more like us than we would like to admit. Maybe just with a few of the details change, and that we are no better than they are. Right, so what can we take away from John? I doubt his gruff manner is a headline, although it should be known that God uses that type of man many times down through the millennia. But this is not to say that every Christian needs to be like John in this regard. Not everyone has the temperament for it, and the prophets might not make the best long-haul leaders. They seem to burn brighter and burn out faster than most. But here is something that we can take. What true prophets speak cannot or should not be denied because they are speaking the word of the Lord. And with John, we can see either that we will end up loving ourselves and our earthly desires first and foremost, or we can end up loving the one who John loves and wanting to please him, knowing that he has first loved us. This does not mean that we will have a life of ease. The side effects can be rather drastic, as Jesus points out in the Sermon on the Mount. But it does bring the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, yet guards our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ forever. Amen.